Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I saw Juan Mata's video before.
Did you get a twitch, a tear in your eye?
No, I didn't get a tear in my eye, but how fucking good was that video?
Mint. What did amazing. You think, Dre?
It was amazing. Yeah. Well, was all those clips about see you later Mata on the tram and stuff, were they real? Were they edited?
Don't know. Could be anything these days. I saw Godzilla fighting King Kong and it looked well real.
Was it real though?
Was I there?
That's true. You don't know. It could have happened or it could be false. Like
great video though. Really nice.
Godzilla versus King Kong or?
Both.
Right.
Both.
The thing with Mata is he's got the right to make that video.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because some players will make that video and you think, why have you made that video? Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
name three players.
Well, I don't know. I liked Ander Herrera, right?
Okay.
And I did. I was one of my favourite players. But when he made his video, there's a little bit you think, really? Do you know what I mean? Like,
you've just been offered a reload of cash from PSG.
Yeah, I mean,
I get it.
You know,
I mean, they offered him like a stupid wage for 4 years at his age. Yeah. He's a dick if he don't take it.
No, I get that. Just when I saw his video, I was a bit like, right, okay. Didn't really need that.
And Matt has been involved in the media side of stuff, hasn't he? So, not surprised, but it was a nice surprise in a way.
Do you think United's social team have had a little meeting after that video went out and someone's gone? Any chance you lot want to do something like that now and again?
For anyone asked, he's literally filmed on our street.
Yeah, literally. He's just sat in Dun & Massey as well.
Yeah, we must have walked past that filming 15 times and not clocked.
I know. But there is a lot of filming that goes on though, isn't there?
Yeah, literally. You end up getting, if you want to walk across Stevenson Square, once a week, you'll get someone will put an hand in front of you and be like, just one sec.
I saw Got Kwan was filming there the other day.
Really?
Yeah.
What was he doing?
I don't know. He was just filming. I told my mum and she's like, go get a picture with him. I'm not. A, I'm not into him, so he's filming, and B, I'm not doing it to get a picture of him.
Excuse me, my mum said I need to get a picture.
Just hang on a minute. All right, get off. Don't touch. Right, come here.
We're not smiling. We're too cool for that.
Yeah. Sweet. Get involved in the comments. Let us know what you think about Juan Mata. Everyone loving the video.
Would you have re-signed him after watching it? Because I think if you'd have put it in front of me right there and then I'd have been signing it.
Would you have signed...
Just run it back. Come on, give him 10 years. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. He's one of the few, and I mean the very few, last season, who probably emerged with any sort of credit.
Yeah, but I mean, he'd come on with like 10 minutes left, though, wouldn't he?
Where's
when
he going?
It was dire.
Do you know what he's going to do? He'll go to somewhere like, I don't know, Sevilla or somewhere. Like,
and I'll fluff it out.
Yeah. And do well.
They'll win the Europa League or something.
Yeah. And then people will go, shouldn't let him go. It's like, you'll know this better than anyone. Inter Milan have got a lot to answer for.
What are you Milan for?
Because you know what I'm going to say. When your mate went there and won the title, when Sanchez went there and won the title, and everyone's like,
Damian.
Yeah, shouldn't let them go. And you're like, really? Did you watch Manchester United over the last few years?
Yeah, I know.
Come on. So yeah, that'll probably happen. But Matt, here's a question for you then. Is he our best signing post-Fergie? Consider everything here. Consider what he's done, what he's won, the goals he scored, the games he's been in. obviously what he cost. I know he cost quite a bit. Is he our best signing post Ferguson?
No. Our best post Ferguson signing is Bruno, 100%. Because look, Matt, right? We won three trophies.
It is. I'll try as devil's advocate.
Okay.
Because I agree.
That's my fucking brew.
For me, I think Bruno is probably the one thing is though, Matt has won things.
He has, but so has Phil Jones. So has Chris Smalling.
Post Fergie, how many signings have we made that have won the three trophies we've won post Fergie and played a part in all those wins?
Two words. Brian Robson.
Blind.
Thank good point.
Brian Robson won all three trophies.
The back end of his career though. Like he won cups, didn't he? But he didn't win a league.
No, he did, didn't he? Don't worry about it.
I mean, but, back end of his career. He won it in 93, 94. That's a full 93 and 94.
He just says Brian Robson randomly every 5-10 minutes. You know it's it.
He just says Brian Robson.
Like, if you want to say, he didn't win the league. Yeah, no, Brian Robson won it in his twilight.
No, he did.
The bulk of Brian Robson's career was being a non-league winning player.
My point is...
And a legend.
I agree with all that with Brian Robson. He also won the most important trophy in the history of association football. Obviously. And if you don't know what that is... Go watch something else.
You're on the wrong spot.
Seriously. But post Fergie, how many players have actually come in, played a part in all those three trophy ones we've won post Fergie?
Daley Blind's won.
Was there?
Yeah.
Did Zlatan
didn't win the FA Cup.
He didn't win the FA Cup. We didn't win those things because of Mata, did we? We kind of won them because of Rashford and...
Well, the FA Cup, he scored, didn't he, in the final? He certainly played a part in that.
Did Mata score?
Didn't he? No. Wasn't it Mata and Jessa who scored?
Did Mata score?
Yeah, he did. Didn't Fellaini chest it to him?
I thought it was Mata and Jessa. I mean, I was there.
He wouldn't have passed it to him.
Do you know what the scary thing about...
I don't actually think there's only one goal, mate.
Do you know what the scary thing is? I was in the press box covering it as a reporter.
Was it 2-1?
And I can't remember.
Was it 2-1?
And I'm into Google. Yeah,
normally I'm there. I'm there on camera. And I don't fucking know what score it was.
It was Mata and Lingard. Thank you. Yeah. So I did a good job as a journalist, didn't I? Hey, that was money well spent sending me there.
I thought it was 1-0.
Because we've won so many trophies recently.
It was 10 years ago.
What would you laugh for?
The weird thing is, you could have argued that and convinced me, and I would have apologised.
This is what Google's ruined.
I know.
Because that's your little pub corner. That's us till 4 o'clock in the morning going, no, you about absolute sausage.
It was 1-0. No, it wasn't. Did I see
Matt's
score?
Get the encyclopedia out.
Right.
Am I thinking of something else?
Without looking at that, when was the first goal?
I've seen it. You won't get it. All right.
Wasn't it my end?
Right. It was them, wasn't it?
What?
It was Palace.
Yeah.
And was it punching?
Oh, yeah.
It was, wasn't it?
No, when was United's goal? Because it wasn't at our end.
Well, was
both of their goals at that end?
I can't remember. I was in the press bit, so I can't remember.
So
which
when was
it? I mean,
81 and 78. Oh, no, it would have been one.
I thought they scored early doors.
Yeah, I did.
I thought Palace scored.
I've only 1-0 down for 70 minutes.
Yeah, I thought they scored like in the first half.
This it was 0-0 for 70 minutes.
And I wasn't even drinking then.
Anyway,
I'll tell you what happened in the 2016 FA Cup final.
What happened?
What happened, Steve? You were there. You remember it well.
I think it's one of our intro videos. Is Maka jumping over me and fucking kissing us? I don't have a fucking clue, mate.
Where was it played?
Hey, to be fair, we were drinking from 7 a.m.
Right. Well, at least you've got alcohol as an excuse. I haven't even got that. I just can't remember anything. He played. My point was, he played a part in that because he.
Do you know what, Jay? He did.
He scored.
Apparently.
He scored.
I think with Mata, it's sad. With
that
Mata.
Could be a lie for all we know.
It's sad with Mata because literally he came as a top player.
He's back to back.
He just.
Chelsea
slowly,
player of the year.
Slowly. He didn't lose his quality, but he just got older and older and older and older and older. And now he's finally left.
Fucking old, you know.
I mean, surely he's like.
How old do you think he is?
Like, now you said that. I reckon he's like 35.
I don't think he's.
See, he played a part as well in the goal in Stockholm.
Is he 35?
Who, Mata? Well, it's weird because he got him at 25, didn't we?
Oh, he's definitely not 35. He's 34.
Yeah.
Okay.
Only just 34.
He's 34 till he's 35.
But like he's stuck through all of the bad times.
Don't you know anything about fractions?
Definition of a cult hero, Juan Mata. Definition of a cult hero. Surely.
I think
had a few good moments. Wide but he's stuck. He's been there through all the badness.
I think.
Oh, who's had a better career, Harry Kane or Juan Mata?
That's a great question. Get involved in
Juan Mata. He's won more.
Yeah.
fucking won more. He's won something.
Yeah.
He's won Champions League.
He's won a World Cup, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Champions League, World Cup.
Euros.
Yeah.
Twice. Well, let's have a look at what matters honours.
He won a Europa League. Right. Has he won a lot?
Right, he's won the Copa del Rey Valencia. He won the FA Cup with Chelsea. He's won the Champions League with Chelsea. He's won the Europa League with Chelsea. He was runner-up in the World Cup.
He's not won a Premier League.
He should have stayed at Chelsea.
Club. He's not won a, didn't win a Premier League, right? But Premier League's overrated. Went out in 2013, winning out. Who cares?
It's not stopped Gerrard getting touched.
Yeah. He won the World Cup. He won the European Championships. He's done all right, hasn't he?
He's done well.
Right, I'm going to rephrase
that question. How far off Juan Matas is Harry Kane's career?
Right, well, listen.
He's got a golden boot.
You need to... The honours for Harry Kane are Football League runner-up twice. Yeah?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And Champions League runner-up. And also European Championship runner-up. And UEFA Nations League third place. But he did get Millwall Young Player of the Year in 2011, 2012. So swings and roundabouts, isn't it, eh? Do you know what I mean? Which is better, a World Cup and a Champions League or Millwall Young Player of the season? I go with that.
As a football media professional, I'm giving an A*. The one Matter video, it was mint.
Yeah. It's perfect, isn't it?
The only thing that they don't get an A*. God,
I'm just saying it's perfect, so he's going to argue with me now.
Well, it's not quite perfect.
Come on.
The music's been used on loads of things.
Is it?
Well, we can't play it probably, it's probably copyright, but...
Is that demonetized now?
We're working out. We're working a way around that, don't worry.
I just demonetized the whole video.
What's your favourite One Matter moment, and why is it Anfield?
Well, it's not Anfield because I got well stitched up. Me and Paul Machin from Red Men TV got to watch it on that fan zone thing. I get loads of shit for this.
I forgot that you did. People
don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and for the people who do give me shit on it, one, join a queue, and two, fuck off. So
it's a long queue.
The when you do fan zone, do the commentary, right? So I got a call. Edge, fancy coming being on fan zone. We'll have you and Paul Machin. I thought, I like Paul for a scouser, he's all right. Let's do the fan zone thing. I thought, yeah, it'd be buzzing. I was like, oh, I can get a lift to Anfield. It's not a problem. We're like, it's in Stratford, my mate. Why would I, when a game's at Anfield, go to Stratford
in London?
That's where Stratford is.
Stratford upon Avon is about 20 minutes.
Okay, noted. It's not in fucking Anfield, is it? Right. So I was like,
he's not Stratford upon Avon.
It's fine. Anyway,
Stratford, yeah. So anyway, I'm like, fuck, I've already agreed to this, and I'm now gutted because I thought I was going to the match. Bastard. So you get there, and it's a studio a quarter of the size of this, and some geezer looking at you through double glazing. And there's a 26 inch telly on a stand, and a microphone, and a chair with some shit props in a room, right? And then, at least you get the broadcast, right? Wrong. You don't get sound because it'll be picked up by the mic. So you're watching United Liverpool with no sound, which is a bizarre thing anyway. Anyone who's done a watch along, we kind of have it on like two or three, so it doesn't quite pick up. You get a little bit of the atmosphere. When you get no atmosphere, you have no idea. Is it a goal? You don't know because not everything's visual.
Why couldn't they have sound? Because of the copy.
Because it'd be picked up on our mics.
Pick it up.
Oh, right, okay.
Not only that, at least you get the broadcast, right? So you get the replays, you get to see the time and everything. No, you fucking don't. I had one guy's camera feed, like in the gantry, and at times, I don't know if he'd go for a piss, check his phone or something, but the camera just kept doing this. So you're sitting there like, I didn't know if it was going out live, I didn't know if we was going to be like edited as highlights, they never told us. So you're like trying to keep talking anyway.
This is Sky, isn't it?
Yes. Bit of a mom and pop organisation.
Yeah, right. You know, they ain't got
so sometimes the camera would just pan up and we would see like blue sky. And I was like, honestly, what the fuck? And then when Matter's goal goes in, like you see the shot.
Is this the second one or the first one?
The volley.
Yeah.
So my reaction looks mental. And I understand why people would think it was mental. But hopefully I've explained a little bit of why it was, my reaction was what it was. And I went, that's either offside or it's the best goal I've ever seen. Because when it cut from the shot, I'm looking at the wide angle. I think you lot on the thing, you got a different angle than we got live. We were looking at this really, really, really weird high angle, and they cut the camera from, or they either cut the camera or my guy zoomed in. He zoomed in on like Skirtle. So I'm looking. We're just looking at Skirtle, who's got screensaver face going on, obviously. Juan Mata's run off celebrating, but I can't see that. I've just got a close up of Skirtle. So I'm like, was it offside? Or like, I don't know what's happened.
That's horrible. That is horrible.
Yeah, like,
so my response is weird.
Yeah.
But that was why my response was weird.
Literally no weed score.
Yeah, these I got no sound being like, what do I go, Juan Mata's like,
did you think it was gonna be? Did you think you were gonna be at the game?
Yeah.
All right.
I thought it was in a box.
That was a bit of a downgrade, maybe.
I've inadvertently done you a favour.
Why?
Because your reaction.
Oh, if he'd have scored it?
Yeah.
It was the one where Gerrard got sent off, though, wasn't it?
So we just lost the plot.
We had japes.
Yeah, exactly. You may have said some things that you're like, you know, okay.
God, what's your favourite one, Matt, memory?
One feels up there. I'm a bit annoyed. I was meant to go at that game with me, annoyingly, my missus was pregnant with my son and I was skint and I didn't go. Which, you know, lose a load of top red points for that one, don't I? So it's up there, the FA Cup is there as well. Also, I know it's not that big a deal.
The FA Cup's up there.
Yeah.
I agree, Jay.
You know, with the scale of things. But I do like the free kick against Juve as well.
Someone cue me up one Matt's goal in the FA Cup final, jog my memory. Yeah. I've never watched the game back. I've never watched a minute of that game back.
Have you seen the goals?
No. So I saw him live, I guess. At least one of them.
It was a really weird game, right? Because when Matt's goal goes in, I was in the press box and I was like trying to keep this facade of, I am a member of the press. I am going to be, I'm not just a Manchester United fan, because I was there in a sort of professional capacity. So I was like, oh, we scored an equaliser, fucking get in. But I kept me sort of finger. When Jesse scored, I lost it. I was literally running in front of journalists. Yeah, yeah. I had like top security off over to me going, should you be here? Let me have a look at your pass. Is this real? Because I just lost the plot big time. And had I known it was the second one of the last trophies we'd ever win.
Imagine that being something that someone told you, hey, guess what? Save it this. Because you've got like a Europa League and a bit of a League Cup. And
That's your lot, brother. So I probably would have just jumped out of the press box. Peter Jackson, Jay, I live in Bangkok and would love to meet up with you and Joe and Adam. Would like to know your itinerary. We will be sort of putting out some out about what we're going to be doing and we will be meeting up with people. So get involved, Peter Jackson.
I believe
Jackson.
It's Brascaff match. Cocktail bar, Brascaff. That was the one that Joe sent me.
I don't know what you're on about with the match thing. Forget that. joking, by the way, if anyone's watching from my phone.
We are going to the match.
Meta United 88 says, this can go to you, Stephen. Advice for a new YouTuber. Meta United 88, sorry, up the paddock.
Just make content. Just make content because the first bit you do will be shit and then it'll get progressively better and you'll start to realise the things that you like and dislike. And then just make content.
Someone's put, I would get Phil Foden in the England squad tonight. Are England playing tonight?
Yeah, they're playing Italy.
Who the fuck cares? Doors.
Like, that's what I mean. Like, these games literally keep passing me by. I find out about them after them. Like when Harry Maguire's trending for something. Well, you know, what's he trending for? And it's like, oh, he's played for England. Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, they're playing behind closed doors because of the Euros.
What?
So like Italy and England fans, apparently. Although it was just England fans.
Do you know what,
they're playing it behind closed doors.
Is this because of the Euro final?
Two sides to every story, John.
Yeah, Euro final.
It's two sides to every story.
Well, to be fair, right, I can't comment because I've got to choose my words carefully here. I understand the fans that did what they did, trying to get into the game. 2011 Champions League final, I did a similar thing. I just failed miserably at it. I more or less fell at the first hurdle.
Have
you got a ticket? What? You're not coming here. Okay.
I've never had one successful proper gym, and that was Villa Park.
Oh, good ground.
I had a spectacularly...
Go on.
I had a spectacularly failed one at the Etihad.
Yes, this is... You meant one of our first ever videos you told me about this, and I loved it.
So I was on bail for GBH. This is a true story. So there's a guy goes and get you in the ground and get this pass. It's like a snide pass. I get you in the ground, give us a wanna, give him a wanna, and we go in. But ultimately, it ends up with getting PNC'd. So when the police see if you've got any outstanding warrants or anything like that, well, they've got you because you've trespassed essentially. And then all they're going to do on a match is just fucking put you out. That's what you're going to get.
He's on a banning order.
It's always worth the go.
Yeah.
But I don't condone that. So this is the difference, a couple of years ago. So I was on bail at the time and the guys, obviously I paid him a wanna. We have failed. And as we're standing there getting PNC, the guys obviously got older, made a copper. And it comes back, they run my details, and he's like, you're on bail for GBH? And I went, yeah. And the guy went, I saw that money, I'm going to get out. Yeah. How's that sound?
Nice.
I've jibbed Wembley.
Oh,
yeah. Oh,
Wembley's a good jib.
I've jibbed it.
Yeah?
It was a bit of a weird one. That basically, I had a mate who went to UCFB at Wembley.
Nice.
And it was it wasn't the United game. It was Villa Derby playoff final.
We were obviously
just battered, and we were just like, should we go to the game? There was three of us. We all just went up. We all just asked a Villa fan, can we just come in behind you? They were like, yes, Al. Went in behind.
My mate jibbed the Champions League final at Old Trafford, Juventus and Milan.
That's what I mean, man.
Did he climb over the Bobby Charlton stand?
No, he had a grey bib.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Which, honestly, a very nondescript bib. But he said he clocked that there were grey bibs at the Champions League games that United were playing in that year.
Yeah.
And he was like, I've got a bib that's colour, but it's obviously not got Champions League branding on it. Yeah. So he went, balls, put like a black coat on, put the grey bib over it, and just hovered around outside until the door opened up. And then he walked up and was like, all right. Yeah. And he just got let in.
Imagine having a grey bib.
Seriously.
Does anyone have a grey bib? Apart from your mate.
Someone in the comments is going to be like, yeah, mine, don't
a
you?
A grey bib.
Do you remember when we did Fanzine Friday, which is what I bring back, by the way, and we had Steve Black on, and he told us all his best jibs because he was quite well known for doing it. And he said he did like one of his best ones. He's like, he saw a wheelie bin, wheeled that into one of the dens. Yeah, I just need to take that through to the concession stand. Yeah, yeah, come in. Just a bin.
When I was in the Etihad, that was how I got. Yeah. We got into the city end, and I got in on the first tier. And it was a game that they give out all in blue scarves, you know, that Mancini ended up wearing. It was that game. I think Darius Fazel missed the penalty that game.
Yeah,
I think so. So we'd got out into the main sort of stand, and we'd gone through all the stairs at the back, and we come to this big iron gate. Just knocked on the gate, and I met with Mike, the program seller. The guy was like, oh, okay.
This is the thing, one thing you got to remember as well, is most of these people who are at these games don't care. They're like, if you tell them, they're not that bothered to double check.
It's a crazy job swift that you get in it.
Yeah.
We'd been trying to get in before kickoff, but it had been that late and that tight to get in that as we've gone through this big iron gate, and it's gone dong and like rattled and shook. The concourse is clear because the match has like started 20 seconds ago. So there's no one in the concourse. Where if we'd have done it 3 minutes earlier, we wouldn't have been seen because there'd have been 1,000 people in there. Yeah. There's a fucking stewards meeting happening 20 metres away. So we've just come through that gate. I've just walked through, like made eye contact with these stewards and police standing there and just gone, shit. And then one of them's gone, you got a ticket? And I was like, yeah, once. I've run down a few steps. I've like dived to my right and then the police have followed me. And I've been going, give us a ticket to people. And before I've managed to get a ticket off anyone, I've been dragged out by my feet.
You got a ticket?
Yeah, I love it.
Where'd he go?
It's about 5 stone as well. I go as well, so I had some fucking wheels on me.
Honestly, I love that. We'll have to do a podcast on that one day. We'll talk about our favourite little jibs.
Oh, jibs.
Yeah, honestly. The one when we had a steal.
This is Trevor, he is jib. 200 games this season.
There's going to be someone who's never paid for a ticket. And
there was
gone
like
everywhere.
To pay to fail. There's loads of Reds that have done that. Yes, Manscaped. Gentlemen, Father's Day is just around the corner, and our friends even at Manscaped are here to ensure the father figures out there are looking like daddy material this June, which is something we all adhere to. Manscaped's Performance Package 4.0 includes their signature lawnmower with its 4.0 technology to give you the perfect bundle to tackle any old man hair from head to toe. This right here is no dad joke. Treat him and yourself and join the 4 million men worldwide, which I think is about 1 in 2 men, isn't it? 4 million? Yeah, exactly.
Old Trafford only holds it like 76,000.
And we're the biggest club ever. With this exclusive offer, get 20% off and free shipping with the code HOWSON at Manscaped. crop preserver.com. Trust me, his dad bod will thank you. So you know what you get, right? You get the crop preserver, you get the ball deodorant, you get the reviver toner, you get the performance boxer briefs. We've all been there, haven't we? Trying to make ourselves look decent. Do you know what I mean? Maybe had a little bit of an accident, you know, burnt ourselves with a candle when we've been trying to light under there because we haven't got the LED light that you've got on the lawnmower 4.0, or maybe we've dropped the torch that we've got in our mouth in the shower, all that sort of stuff. You don't have to worry about it with Manscaped because they've got you covered. And what I love about lawnmower 4.0, this is the real selling point for me, it's got the on-off button.
Multifunctional
on-off button. I'm big on that.
On and off.
Yeah, because the amount of things I've bought, they've only got an off button. It's just ridiculous. Do you know what I mean? This has got the on-off. And it's got the 400K LED light. So listen, you know the dance, right? This summer, you know what to do. Go and check it out. Look after yourself. Give yourself a bit of a treat. Give yourself a Father's Day treat. Give your father a Father's Day treat. I gave my father-in-law one of these performance package things for Christmas, and he still talks about
ball toner. Looks so like he's got two candles J's.
Anymore. Don't use candles.
Doesn't use candles
anymore. Don't nick yourself with that nick stuff. They've got the anti-nick technology.
You want to get ball toner all over your chaps, and it looked like you got two J's in a headlock.
It is. Honestly, I don't take offence to that because he's absolutely right. So go and check it out. It's 20% off and free shipping using the code Howson at manscaped.com. Let me read this out. Shake what your mama gave you. Nah, shake what your daddy gave you.
Yes. Get your Manscaped.
Big thanks to Manscaped for sponsoring this channel and putting up with us. Yeah, apparently the England game, if anyone cares, is Saturday.
No one cares.
Thank you. I agree. Yeah, everyone's loving today? The J's. Two right. J's in a headlock. It's you know, it's been popular, that one. I know you don't like doing this, Stephen, but we're going to do it anyway. Because I want to get your take on it, because I haven't really seen much of you today. The Nunes thing, do you care? You bothered? Was it ever happening? Is this nonsense?
Andy Mitten a few weeks ago said this is agent-led in Benfica. And if anyone's not seen my scout report on him, none too plus.
Right, well, let's say, go and check out, after this video, go and check out his scout report, but what was your sort of take on him, your roundup on him?
When you look at what United are in for, and you look at the sort of defences that we're coming up against, he's got a bit of an unsustainable goal-scoring record this season. He's not, I mean, he's like, his passing's hilarious. His ball control is kind of hilarious. He just wasn't, and Van Dijk coming out and saying he's the toughest opponent he's played against this season, maybe from a physical point of view. But yeah, I would start, he's obviously good. I'm not going to sit here and be like, he's League Two level. He's clearly not League Two level, but I don't think he was the right person for us, and especially for the money. Like, the money involved is serious cheddar.
Yeah.
No, it's, you're talking like, this is world-class money. This should be guaranteed, like, superstar level money, and he's not. This money that we're going to pay potentially for Frenkie de Jong makes a lot more sense. He's proven quality. Done it at a couple of places, done it at a higher level, done it more sustained. That makes sense. Doing it for Darwin Nunes, is it a case of he's the best of what's available? Well, in that case, you know, one, I don't see Ronaldo sitting on the bench for anyone.
No.
Two, I don't see you being able to sit an £80 million player on the bench.
No.
So it just didn't really make a lot of sense. I'm not even sure it makes a lot of sense for Liverpool, to be honest, but...
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Trey, what do you reckon? You've done your own work.
I've done my own work. I mean, I just think if Darwin Nunes supposedly wants to go to Liverpool... Just let him go to Liverpool. We don't want another player. It's a bit like De Jong. De Jong has come out and said he wants to stay at Barca. Do we really want to be spending all that money on another player coming to us who doesn't want to be there?
Do you feel like with things like that, like almost they have to say something like that? Is De Jong going to come out and go?
Well, he's not saying I don't want to go to United. Yeah. Is it? I think he said my preference is to stay at Barca.
Yeah, which he kind of, because if this deal doesn't happen and he's stuck at Barca,
correct.
The Barca fan go, oh, you were saying last week you wanted to go to United. If he says, I'd rather stay here, well, and the deal happens, then
when
no
people have shaked their ass at different clubs and then not left and had to come back with a tail between the legs.
I know,
it's rough, isn't it?
Yeah, it's bad. Yeah. Remember, I mean, I'm going back in way back.
And actually, Frankie de Jong hasn't said anything, technically.
No.
There's just been leaks and stuff. I don't think so.
In a press conference. He said, I mean,
his comments, even the comment he made after the Holland-Belgium game, where he said, this style suits me better. Some Barca fans were up in our arms about that, saying that's a dig at Xavi. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, that's like, true. Oh, he's having a pop at us. When that was a pretty innocuous comment.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult when you're a player. Obviously, at a club like Barcelona, you're not, no disrespect to other clubs, but Barcelona are one of the biggest clubs in the world. If you say anything other than, I'm happy or I want to stay here, they're going to be on you.
Yeah.
Because this isn't like, you know, a small club like City or someone where you can say that and it won't kick off.
You just don't say anything though, do you?
Yeah, or Arsenal. You know what I mean? Everyone wants to leave Arsenal. It's a stepping stone. Whereas at Barca, it's...
Spurs.
Yeah. Now we're just getting into silly clubs. But you've got to really be like, yeah, of course I want to stay. Mm-hmm. And then if United do, you know, come in with an offer that Barcelona accepts, you go, okay, yeah, I'm going to United. And then he'll probably say what most United players say when they get here, which is, you know, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah.
So I kind of understand
that. Been a fan since childhood.
Yeah.
What about, don't worry about
that. I ignore the things I said.
I like the look of Nunes a lot. Like that, when he, playing against Liverpool, he looked really good. It was one of those performances where you'd be like, I really like the look of that player. But if we sign him for 80 mil and we signed De Jong for 60 mil, where's the money for the rest of the squad?
You said it there. Admitting is one of the journalists that you trust 100% because he does his own work, and I know he does. It very much felt like agent-led. It didn't make much sense to me, this idea.
Jay, the other night, what night was it, Wednesday? That was the first thing I've saw this window that was the truth, and it was a leak or a briefing from Manchester. And it was Simon Stone said, United don't want to pay over the odds, I think it was, or don't want to be, you know, tanned on the price for De Jong, or held over. I can't remember the exact wording of it, but something in that sort of wording.
I was about to say, I'd be surprised if that was the official statement.
We learned.
Tanned. We don't get tanned on the price.
It was Simon Stone that said it anyway. It was like, United don't want to be held to ransom, that might have been it, over Frankie De Jong. And now, that to me, knowing Simon Stone's connections within the club and you know how trustworthy he is, that to me smelt like the first time anyone had any sort of anything from United this window. There's clearly something in De Jong, right? That's not just fantasy. There's clearly something in that. But that's the first time this window that there's ever been something that's come from Manchester. And I think there's a lot of talk of all sorts of shit from other places.
Do you know what annoys me with this, right? It's the same thing that happened with Diaz. Like, Liverpool bought Diaz. United never put a bid in for him. We weren't in for him. We were never going to get him. Our manager at the time, Ralph Ragnick, literally name-checked him and said, I would have had him, but we didn't. I was told no.
I watched that presser and I was like, I'm not sure if he was saying these are players who moved or these were players who were interested. Yeah, all right,
fair enough. But the point is, we were never going to get him. And yet, loads of the headlines that I saw mainly from Scouts TV were beat United to the signature.
Yeah, because everybody throws United. Like, the one that I remember the most is like United and Watford are going head-to-head for Brazilian wonder kid Richarlison.
Mm, are we? Yeah.
And I went, so he's going Watford then? Watford, or someone, his agent has gone, let's spice this up a little bit.
Yeah.
I just chucked United in,
United wanted him, but he's a massive Elton John fan. So he just, Watford was he grew up with pictures of Luther Blissett on his wall. Juan Martinez, he's been a member of the Academy for 19 months, says, I'd love it if we got Jonathan David, such a hard worker and team player. Also, make sure you use the code HOUSING to save money on your Manscaped products. Thank you. That's the first super chat we've had, I think, that's actually done our job for us. Jonathan David, this is a kid from Lille, isn't it? I don't know a lot about him. Do you know much about him?
Canadian, yeah,
he's good.
He's a hard worker. I take Juan Martin as his word for that. Miguel Gallegos, forgive me if I butcher that one, says, how do you feel about some reports that Erik ten Hag would like to bring Edson Álvarez from Ajax? He's great at winning the ball back, but lacks in possession. Just as a wider question there, I mean, you can answer that one. Is there someone out there we can get or that you'd like to see us go for who can win back the ball? Because I don't feel that's necessarily De Jong's forte. I don't think that's Garner's forte if he comes back into the team, I should say. Is there someone? Because you've done about a million scout reports.
Yeah,
there's fucking loads.
That's the thing, is like, you don't have to just pin your hopes on one. I mean, everyone that we've mentioned so far in the research we've done this year has fucking signed for something.
I keep seeing your tweet sort of...
Another one.
A mixture of told you so and deflation when one of the players that you've been talking about...
What about the River Plate lad? What's his name again?
Fernandez.
Has he been signed?
Not yet. 16 million. banging.
He looks so good.
He's well worth 16 million. Really is well good. Worth the risk.
Yeah.
And the attributes that you think make a South American player fail in the UK in the Premier League, he's not that kind of player. He's a different kind of player, and he's hard. Like it's the sort of player that you think, yeah, he ends up going and being a success. It's still a gamble, but at 16 million. Not really a gamble.
No. I mean, we might need to start doing something like that. Just on the De Jong front, I mean, this is gathering momentum. I feel like we're not that far off, perhaps.
Jay, it might be my understanding that there's some fuckery afoot with this. Huh? In a good sense.
Right, okay. But we know what that means, basically. That means me having a word with you, getting annoyed that you didn't tell me earlier. after this show's finished.
I was busy when you came up.
Yeah, all right, fair enough.
Is anyone else in for him?
No, I don't think so. Don't I know of.
Who, Frankie?
Yeah. Which is slightly surprising.
A bit weird, that, isn't it?
Because he's not extortionate money, and he's a very, very good player.
He'd be on fat wages, though.
Yeah, that's true.
But there was some talk City were interested in him.
Of course they were.
But again, is that just the utter nonsense where they're like, United are in for someone? I'll say City are in for him.
Is this a signing? I know you've done, like, you know,
that's what I think it works like,
scout reports and stuff on him. Is this signing that you're excited about?
Yeah,
I don't just mean he's a good player.
The midfield engine room is what you've got to make any system work. Your midfield, like, if you make your defence better, it doesn't make your attack better. If you make your attack better, it doesn't make your defence better. Your midfield makes your attack and defence better. It's the most important part of the pitch. If you've got a world-class midfield, you can make do with mediocre players. Can't make do with mediocre in midfield. Now, Bruno, for some reason, is like a lot of United fans' favourite fucking villain at the moment. Yes, he's a selfish player. Yes, he loses the ball. He's also the most chance-creating player in the bleeding league in a shit United team. So let's see what he can do with more runners and better midfield partners around him. I think he'll be fine. You throw Frankie de Jong in the mixer. He does a lot of what we thought Pogba should and would have done. And that's, you know, progress the ball through the middle of the pitch. He's got dribbling ability. He's got passing range. There's a tempo and a bite to him, which I think people will be surprised at if we get him. Way more than you think. You go, I thought it was a bit more like, maybe there's a little bit of a Donny van der Beek mentality on him. You think, I thought he was a bit like tidier than that. There's a bit of Ander Herrera at times. It's not his main attribute, but it's there. You know what I mean? It's under the surface. Like, someone's going to get a boot sometimes. But you probably still need that very aggressive or at least very defence-minded first number six that can sit in alongside him. And I think if you get that, a bit of a dog-legged asymmetrical midfield, I think what goes on around those are your match winners that are going to win you the games. And you can bring... If our second choice three is McTominay, Fred and Donny van der Beek, that's bloody good, isn't it?
Yeah.
For our, you know, Europa League games or for our League Cup games.
Is that essential? I'll ask you this as well again in a minute, Dre. Is that essential then for you, for this to us to get the best out of De Jong, that we get that ball winner? Because there's a part of me, and call me jaded by the Glazers or whatever, that feels like this might be our only midfielder this summer.
Yeah, there's every chance of that.
Yeah.
I don't have the faith in the board to do that. And this is the other thing as well. People, just get ready for this. Erik ten Hag will say he's happy with the squad come August, no matter what. He will. Even if he signs me and Jay, he's going to come out and say he's happy with the squad.
Yeah.
Because obviously, every manager does that, and you have to do that. Because if you come out and go, fucking hell, I was promised all sorts, and look at these two Herberts that I've ended up with, then the dressing room's dead.
That was the Jose Mourinho summer 2018 style.
Yeah, that went well, didn't it?
Yeah, that lasted another 4 months.
Well, he's already come out and said he's happy with Maguire, and he can't wait to work with him.
Yeah, but like, you've got like... You know, but is he, though?
Well, Ole Gunnar
Solskjaer
yeah.
came out and was like, I love Ashley Young.
Exactly.
Fuck him off.
Yeah, get him on the plane
like,
now.
Yeah. Alexis Sanchez, what a wonderful player.
We want him back.
Absolutely. And everyone's like, no, Ole. And he's like, get him out the fucking door now.
But that's just, even if you took it away from football, that's just good management, business management.
Of course,
that's an asset that you're praising.
Yeah, because if, let's start, a team that's worthy of Harry Maguire now. So another Premier League team, let's just keep it friendly, right? And let's say another Premier League team comes in for him, right? If your manager's on record saying, I can't wait to work with him, there is an asking price that you're able to command. If your manager comes out and goes, Jesus Christ, did you see the highlights against Germany the other night? Get him out of my fucking club, right? If he comes out and says that, they're offering you a half-eaten Twix for him.
10 mil off the price straight away.
Yeah.
100%.
10 mil? Take him. I'll tell you what. We'll give us £50. We'll take him off your hands.
All right. Here's one for you. I don't think, you know, there's any arguments. You've both done your own work on Erik ten Hag. You've both, you know, seen what he's about at Ajax and seen the way he plays and what how he gets. You know, you did a good tactical analysis with Joe Smith on him. I know you've done a lot of research. Can you? Which players do you think he's going to sort of improve? Is there a player you go, do you know what?
French.
Yeah? Because he's been quite decent, hasn't he? The last sort of 12 months.
He's in the opposition half.
Yeah, yeah. Is he a player that you see? Because we heard a little bit of this with Ralph Ragnick, didn't we? We went, oh, he'll get the best out of Jesse, he'll get the best out of Donny. And it didn't quite work out. To be fair, a lot of them just down tools, which you can't, you know. I don't see them doing that under a manager who's going to be here for 4 years, potentially. Is there someone, he's saying Fred, is there someone?
Well, I think Fred or McTominay, because I just think that he's such a good coach. And because like the mood and the expectation of our squad now is so low, they're like, obviously we're going a little bit too far. Obviously it is bad, but there will be players in that squad that we have written off that he will improve.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Like there will be somewhere we're like, I thought he was shit. It might be like a Telles or something.
Yeah.
I think McTominay or Fred, one of them. I mean, I don't know which one.
For being a possession-based team, McTominay doesn't fill me with hope.
But I know, but it's just like you look at both of McTominay and Fred and you see the flaws. But like, I don't know.
I just feel a bit like the whole McFred thing. And I think it's a bit unfair on Fred. I never thought I'd say that because I don't think they've been at the same level last year. Yeah, I think Fred was all right under Ragnick, and I think McTominay was terrible.
The problem with Fred
I know a lot of people like McTominay. I like him, but I don't think he had a good season at all last season.
You play Fred in the opposition half as an eight that's maybe ahead of the ball at times and wins the ball back a little bit high. I don't think there's a drama with him. You ask him to be Pirlo, and his head falls off.
You
ask him to control the ball coming out of defence, and he gives it the opposition.
Their squad players.
There's a lot of flaws in his game. The one thing I think you could say about both of them, some of those games where we played counter-attacking football in the big games at the Etihad, the pair of them come off with the wettest shirts you'll ever see. You know, they absolutely bled for the cause. And that buys you a lot of time. You know, when Marcus has took a lot of stick this year, and a lot of it's valid, because he doesn't look arsed. There's always people that are going to give you time if you look arsed.
Yeah.
And Fred always looks arsed for me. I'd say he's shit, but like, he doesn't even try.
There's only him and Greenwood after the 5-0 loss to the Scousers where when they look like they trying. Fred actually got a lot of praise from me that day because even little things, you remember when it kicked off when Ronaldo booted the ball? Curtis Jones smothered the ball at Ronaldo's feet and was lucky he didn't hurt him. And then all the Liverpool players surrounded Ronaldo and Bruno obviously was straight in there. Fred was straight in there. And none of the others were. And I was, you know, Liverpool at Old Trafford kicking off with you and none of you are getting involved. I was raging. Yet Fred...
Can you imagine how excited you'd been if you'd have been on the pitch at that?
You'd be real bit locked up, wouldn't we? Do you know what I mean? We'd all just been throwing punches. It's like, that's the end of your career. But you want to see at least that effort. And Fred gives you that. Now, yes, you're right. I agree, sort of, when he's deep. Some of the things he does when he does this. Sorry, I've just done that.
The zoom in is Fred's again on the ball. And then it's a cut to a Fred going,
yeah. Right. It's infuriating. But, you want to see at least that sort of.
If he's
effort.
In the opposition half, pressing the bollocks out of people, running around, launching people, you know, it's the Alan Smith thing, isn't it? Like, Alan Smith got a lot. It was gash. Let's have it right. He was an absolute terrible footballer at United. And then when was like, tell you what, he ain't a striker, is he?
No.
Doesn't mean we did buy him for that, but no, he ain't a striker. Let's try him. Central midfield.
Yeah, it was a shame with Alan Smith because you wanted him to be better. Jason Burt, I think from the Telegraph, says just as a bit of an update. Personal terms between De Jong and United will not be a problem for the 25-year-old who would like to work with Erik ten Hag again.
Here we go, the tide's turning.
It's getting that, you know. Yeah. It's one of them. There's one other thing I wanted to get you on as well. Well, both of you, but you know this guy quite well, relatively well. You know him, Mike Phelan. He's not going to be part of the coaching staff next season.
No. I saw he did a coaching seminar last week. It looked really good.
I get a little bit annoyed with some of the grief that Mike Phelan gets. And it's not just because he had 100% pass completion rate in the 1991 Cup Winners' Cup final.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Which I don't know. You find me a player that's had that in a United game, in a United shirt, in a final.
Let alone in the greatest game ever.
Yeah. How many passes?
13.
Doesn't matter how many. They were all accurate.
Double figures?
Yeah. A lot. Yeah.
Cruyff's Barcelona, the dream team.
They couldn't get the ball off him.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably the only player on the pitch that had 100% pass completion.
Mm-hmm. Cruyff was telling the Barcelona team next season, be more might feeling. Yeah. What happened? They won the Champions League. Yeah. Why?
Because of advice. I can draw you a parallel. You might not believe it, but I can absolutely draw you a parallel that'll convince you that Pep Guardiola plays the way he plays right now because he saw Mike Phelan in that game. 100% pass completion. He walked off that pitch and went, we'll never be that good.
That's the way we've got to do it, lads.
Well, you just got to keep the ball. Yeah,
keep the ball like Mike Phelan.
Look at the mustache on him. This is sensational stuff.
See, if you're going to be annoyed with Phelan, be annoyed with him about that. The fact that he gave birth to the Guardiola style of play.
The thing. Experiment.
Yeah, the experiment. He's not going to be part of the coaching staff, although he may have some sort of role.
Do you not think I'm composing that text, Jay?
I know you are. And the reason why I laugh, right, because he sends me these messages all the time at like daft o'clock usually. And I used to go, shut up, stay. And then these things happen sometimes and I go, really? It's like, yeah.
Name the name, but the one I sent you this week's quite a big deal in it.
Well, there's one of my favourite games, United games, is the Everton 4-2 at Goodison. Who scored the fourth goal?
Oh, yeah, that guy. Yeah. No, I'm not, but...
No, that's another one though, isn't it? Where it's
but that's a guy that's... We'll figure that one out in a bit.
Well, yeah, these things happen and I'm always like, is this another would I lie to you moment? With Phelan, it gets a lot of stick. A lot of Ollie's coaches did. Even Carrick was getting it until, you know, when we look back and think, actually, maybe he did a good job.
McKenna got it. Pelters, yeah. And then people are like, he might actually be a tactical genius.
Yeah, and Phelan's been getting a lot of stick off people. But I don't think Mike Phelan's been the problem with Manchester United.
Mike Phelan was about as much on the training ground as I was.
Yeah.
Like, Mike Phelan was doing pretty much an administration role at United. To paint what happened under Ollie on him, and especially with what followed under Ralph, in any negative light, is madness.
Yeah, I think
it's just, you know what? It looks a bit like a potato.
Yeah.
Right? In the nicest possible. I think he's a great bloke.
Looks a bit like a potato.
Like, no, he's not like when Jose Mourinho come over it and he's fit and you're like, wow.
Yeah.
This is the future. You know, like Erik ten Hag's got a fucking charisma in his look, hasn't he? He's like, see how sharp he was dressed.
We were saying this, me, Joe, and Bag were talking, like, if you didn't know anything about him, you just looked at him, you think he's a good manager.
Yeah, you would.
Honestly.
And you look at Mike Phelan, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Mike,
I do
some
know
of the memes
mean.
That have
rocking
come out of Mike
like
Phelan, I fucking love them. Do you know the one where he's on the fucking bench like that? Like, he's a funny guy.
I know.
That's an easy target then, isn't it?
The little golden spell under Ollie when he first came in and we just won every game. And Phelan did a few tweets, didn't he? And at the time, everyone was loving him. And then when things started going west, they're going, why is our assistant manager doing tweets?
Yeah,
like,
you can't
do you know
win.
What I mean?
You can't
like,
fucking
hang
win.
On a minute, we were loving this a month ago.
Yeah, you go, give me a bit of personality. Yeah. I mean, Ollie was on there, though, wasn't he? And he was like, people had sent him shirts and things like that, and he'd tweet them. And then after a bit, he's like, get me off here, fuck
yeah,
me.
They see, like, we should be doing this when we're losing like at home to Huddersfield or whatever it was. I like Mike Phelan. And listen, not necessarily what he did as a player, though he did obviously do very well. It's... As a coach,
he was there from 99 to 2013. I don't need to tell anyone at this table that was an all right kind of period.
Exactly.
And we won some things.
Yeah.
Some things were there.
And it's not all like Fergie didn't have a lot of ex-players to choose from who he could have brought into his coaching staff. He chose him for a reason. And I know you spent more time with Mike Phelan than I have. I spoke to him briefly at the Busby premiere. Just managed to stop him on the red carpet and have a quick chat with him. And he seemed to me like a decent bloke who sort of understood what he was talking about. And, you know, I got a good impression of him. And I feel like this whole, oh, you don't know what he's doing. Oh, thank God we're getting rid of him. It's a bit harsh. Like, I'm not saying it's a terrible thing that he's leaving. I just think some of the grief he's getting, it's a bit unnecessary.
Like, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer gets appointed as the interim boss. And the first thing he does is get Mike Phelan in. There's clearly something that football people, you know, whether you'd like Ole or whatever afterwards, the fact that he was the first person, he goes, and he might feel him.
Yeah.
And the fact that Fergie kept him to the end. There's something in there that people aren't seeing. And the fact that, you know, he's left United now, the first thing he does is goes and puts on a coaching seminar for fucking kids. Yeah, like, this is a football guy. I genuinely think, I'm sure he loves his association with United, but I think this guy is just someone who gets up and breathes football. like he's got that, I think is it called Sensible Soccer, is the company that he's involved with. I don't know if it's his company or whatever. Yeah, he does like seminars through them. And the fact that I'm sure the salary at United was all right. Yeah. I reckon he's probably didn't need any fucking help with the rent. Mm-hmm. The fact that he's like weeks out of the United job where everyone's drained, everyone's get me out of here, give me a fucking break. And the first thing he does is go and put a pair of shorts on, obviously, and get out there and coach people. That's a football guy.
Yeah.
And I definitely got all the time in the world for football
people. If the club's rotten, how can you look at Mike Phelan and just go, oh, he's the problem?
Well, Laurie did a come on. Laurie did a piece on when the deep dive that I think you've been over it was when Laurie Whitwell from The Athletic looked at what went wrong under Rangnick, which was pretty much everything you can imagine. And there was this
and stuff you couldn't have imagined.
Yeah, well, this is one of them. Where we had this kid in Moscow who was giving advice off the data or whatever.
Well, do you say why are they all wearing AirPods on the sideline?
Yeah, they're getting this. But there was the game against West Ham where Phelan's actually said to Rangnick, "No, don't do that. Do you know whoever West Ham has brought on, he's going to leave a bit of a gap on the left-hand side. Let's exploit it by bringing on, you know, Martial or whatever." He does that. We get the last-minute winner, which was one of the last sort of high points, if you can call it that, yeah, of the season. That feeling, that him doing his job. Do you know what I mean? It just felt he was a bit marginalised under Rangnick. And, you know...
Well, there was someone one there that said Rangnick's never even had a conversation with him.
Why? Yeah, like, how is that beneficial to Manchester United Football
Obviously,
Club?
We had him on the podcast on Vibe in the summer, and he came down. We chatted for ages before we went on air. We did an hour on air. He told us everything. And, like, he stuck around for about an hour or so afterwards, and he's like, "Do you know what? I probably should go now, shouldn't I?" And you're like...
What
was Rio's sort of attitude towards him? Because obviously
he wasn't here.
Oh, was he?
It was just me and Joel.
Oh, right, okay, sorry.
Yeah. Rio was at Wembley for the final. Right. So we filmed it on... I think we put it out about a month later, but we filmed it on the day of the final. So we're walking through, like, past all the pubs and stuff, and there was people sort of like, going, "Hey, stay." And then, "Fucking hell, Mike Phelan."
And then it's you first.
Hey, I love all that. Queen of the North, welcome to the first team. Thanks for your support. There was another, sorry.
You remember what it was like here, don't you, in the Euros?
That was the craziest time possibly in my life. I've had some crazy times. In my life, yeah, it was.
These streets. I mean, Wes Brown came and did the watch-along for the final. And it was like some out of a film. He had his hood up, trying to stay a little bit indiscreet. And it was chaos going on. The police closed off both ends of our street here, because obviously from Piccadilly to like Stevenson Square, it was chaos.
Yeah.
And they just, a madness of people. And then Wes Brown just bowls over, he's like, "All right."
an actual legend as well. Paul Gill says, "Rather leave Nunes, get Frenkie and a CDM or centre back and some quality free transfers. Keep up the good work, lads. Glory, glory, Man United, and up the paddock." Also, I think it was Eamon O'Brien. I missed it. He just had a comment that he said was your biggest fan.
He's my mate.
Oh, is it?
Did I get it right? I've done well there. Eamon O'Brien. I was going to read it.
He's a good lad, Eamon O'Brien.
Well, he's...
He faked being a celiac his whole life. And then
you were talking about this?
Yeah. About 2 years ago, he was like, "I'm not celiac." Basically, he's my mate. I've been mates with this guy since like reception.
Right.
He's that kid. He comes to your house and your mum would have to get the special custard creams out. Yeah. The one from the gluten-free area. Oh, right, and then about 2 years ago, he was just like, "Oh yeah, I did a blood test. I'm not celiac." For fuck's sake, Eamon.
What a wristband.
Kieran Derbyshire says, "Disappointed we're not hearing any Ivan Tony talk, to be honest with you."
Oh. Not a bad option off as second choice.
Yeah.
Would
it be expensive?
I said this was in a championship, y'all didn't listen.
Too late. Always too late.
As a second option of someone who couldn't do a job, I've heard worse suggestions.
Because everyone's like, "No, you have to have world-class players." It's not realistic.
No.
Like, we need so many players that you're going to have
and
some
also
randoms.
Someone who's going to say, "Right, okay, Ronaldo's in front of me and I'm on the bench most games, that's fine." And I'm guessing he'd probably do that. Mr. Howson, where can people find you? What are you doing?
What are we doing?
What day is it? Where am I?
Friday today, isn't it?
Yep. Transfer review. Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus, yes. Transfer reviews out tomorrow. Stephen Allison will be looking over those. Back by dope demand.
Oh, there's some zeros. There's some ones. There might be something a little bit higher.
No. Yeah, what?
It wasn't me either.
Right, okay. So make sure you're checking that out. That'll be up on tomorrow. Andre, what are you up to, my friend?
This weekend? I don't know. What is it? Friday.
Yeah, well, it was when I talked.
Still is. Friday all day.
I'm delivering pizzas this weekend back in Royal Leamington Spa.
It's a noble profession.
It is, yeah. It's a great job.
I did it at college. It was sensational. Did you steal the toppings?
steal the toppings?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Steve, like, Steve just used to give him a base. Like, Steve just used to give him a bit of pastry.
I just get him to make me food. I don't steal the toppings.
You got to steal the toppings.
Did you not have like a pizza either? Just
Steve
the
just used to give him an empty box. There you go. Like, thanks for that.
Full of olives.
Where's my tip? Yeah. Hey.
You're like, guys, I brought him some olives. Not fair.
Right, so go and check out. Where can people find
you?
You
can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at Dr. Adre LB. Still haven't changed it. It's just
he is a natural boxer.
Everyone wants me to change it. I might change it this weekend.
Yeah. There you go. Keep posting.
How do we find you then, you helmet?
Well, I'll keep it like that.
You've been spending too much time with Ronaldo Brown, you.
Hey, wait till you find out where he is, honestly.
Hey, that lad leads a charmed life.
Speaking of which, that's why I know he's an England game next week.
Because
he's covering it.
Yeah, he is. This is really happening. So make sure you follow him, Ronaldo Brown, on Instagram. You'll see what we're on about.
I do have an announcement, though.
Go on.
2nd of July, Paddock FC are playing Hashtag if you're in the Essex area and you'd like to come down and watch it. That'll be a good game. And if you're not,
the Titans, that one, isn't it, eh?
Maybe there'll be other ways to watch it.
Right, okay. So go and check that out. You know where to find him. Make sure you check out all the other videos we've got on, including that one of Joe and Housen looking at the Erik ten Hag effect. This has been The Brew. Thanks for watching.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.